Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. I am very, very happy that you joined us here today. And joining me, I always love getting to do the program with Dr. Jill Hubbard. But when we open up the program, we say wisdom from God's Word. Well, she gets a lot of her wisdom from God's Word, as does our special guest today, Dr. John Townsend. Hey, John and Jill, how you guys doing today?
We are good.
Good, Steve.
Well, I'm glad that you are.
Yeah.
John, you have been up to so many things. We've got the Townsend Institute that anybody can find out about by going to Townsend Institute. You just bring that up on Google and it takes you there.
So
the Townsend Institute. And then also, you in that program, you've got a bachelor's degree now that you could earn in the Townsend Institute, which is really,
and a
really
PhD
cool.
Next year, actually, in counseling.
PhD in counseling.
Seriously?
Next
wow.
Year.
First quarter.
Mm-hmm. That's
awesome.
Pretty exciting. So you can access that. Also, John does a little radio program online on Wednesday from 2 to 4 Pacific time. And so you can find that, John, by doing what?
Just go to Dr. Townsend, Dr. Townsend. It's called, and it'll give you how to get there. It's called Dr. Townsend Live. We're there for a couple of hours. And I do a video call-in, Steve. So I'm on with, you know, you can see my mug, but you also see the caller's face. And I get a lot of information from their, you know how it is, their expressions, their eyes, their mouth. And we just solve problems. And so 2 hours once a week.
Awesome. Really, really great. And we're glad that you're here. And if anybody has any information on John, what he's been doing wrong, let us know, because we're big fans of him. And but
that's a long list, Steve.
Yeah. Well, John and Henry and Dave Stoop and all of us, we've been around a while, and it's been quite a great journey with Dr. Jill and a few of the others. But we've been doing this for a lot of years.
Steve,
it's just starting. It's just starting. Don't sound like it's the finish line, man.
Yeah, it is just starting. Anyway, but you could join us, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you could join us live at 1-800-229-3000. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go ahead and go to the phones, and we're going to start off with Clara, who is calling from New York. Hi, Clara. How are you?
Yes, hello. My question is, how important is truth and disclosure? And should I ask my husband to take a lie detector test because he's been acting out for 15 years of our marriage, smoking weed with women coworkers, and on the last job, there was an affair at the job, and a woman came over and beat him in the chest and beat him outside in front of me. We were there in 3 minutes, and he said it was nothing.
And what? So he tells you that this really isn't something that you should be concerned with?
I said the two of you are doing more than just having coffee in the morning.
Yeah. And so
I want to know about, what about a lie detector test? Does that happen?
Well, how about we try to help him grow in character versus we just find out when he lies about doing something crummy? What about that?
He's been in two sex addict classes, and they haven't helped.
Yeah, but he's never been to ours. He's never been to Every Man's Battle. And almost every guy that goes discovers it's really a great relief to not playing out the role of a bad little boy looking at dirty pictures. They love being the man. They love being the man again, and they find themselves.
He said he only went to the sex ed classes for me. He was fired off the job.
We don't care why they come. Once we get them, we work with them.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back talking with Clara, and really some complications here. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that we can give you some solid help here. Jill, you had a thought.
Well, I think that we can't ignore the chronic pot use. And
absolutely.
As harmless as some people want to make it out to be, chronic use affects your behavior, affects your brain, it affects your character and your maturity level, and that has to be addressed as well. So if he's just going to a few sex addict classes,
right,
continuing to, you know, use pot every day, I don't know how effective it's going to be.
No, and I don't know of any scripture that says, seek ye first pot, and all these things will be
right
added unto you. I don't know of anybody that's done well with pot. Maybe they're independently wealthy and they don't need to earn a living, or they have no goals in life. But I'm just not seeing a lot, not even online. People aren't even making it up. Hey, ever since I started smoking pot, life has just all come together. So you have to deal with that.
Empty bottles of vodka.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing.
Okay, an addict's
here's
lie.
The thing.
Big surprise. Right?
Clara,
they lie about everything.
He is not going to change until you change. You are the person that has to have the change of heart. You have to get into a codependency group. You can no longer be complicit with allowing 3 or 4 addictions, and then you're just saying, hey, let me
get
him
a
lie detector test. He
just assume he lies.
You must demand that he get help. And if he won't get help, then you need to have at least a legal separation. Maybe that would wake him up. We need to wake him up. But you're not even a real human to him. Women are objects to him, not people. You're a woman. And until you stand up and say to him, I am a human being, and here's what I require of you, I don't think he's going to change.
Okay. And this isn't a way of life
Christian
for you.
What?
What's that?
Where can I get Christian counseling?
You hold on, and we're going to try to find some, because we have some great Christian counselors all over the country here.
That I can read. I'm already.
Well, I'm going to send you two books.
Yeah.
One book I'm going to read. Send you is it's going to be Take Your Life Back. That's for you. Mm-hmm. And Every Man's Battle for Him. What book did you say you were reading?
I think she said Intimate Deception.
Yeah. Okay. Well, these books are really going to help you, and they're going to help him. And you're going to have to get with other women. You've got to develop relationships with other women that will help you see and get the support that you need to get.
Can I make another suggestion?
Yes,
real quick?
Please.
So, Clara,
please.
By the way, you're our favorite person because that's Steve's mom's name.
Yeah.
You need the support, but you need what I would call a path, P-A-T-H, path, because it's complicated. You don't have these skills. I would see a good Christian counselor that will send you and just walk in and say, it's a mess, I've tried everything, and let that person say, number one, do this, number two, do this, number three. Because it's complicated to know where to set the limit, mm-hmm. what the consequences be, where do I go, and to tell him, here's what I require and need. So get somebody to give you a path, and that only can come from a really good Christian counselor.
I'm really glad you called, and I'm glad what John is saying here. So you need support, you need friendship, and you need a path, and a Christian counselor can do that. So 1-800-NEW-LIFE if anybody else is in this same situation. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Cindy, Houston, Texas. She listens on the New Life app. Hi, Cindy, how are you, and how could we help you today?
Hi, I'm good, I think. my question is...
That was honest.
My 13-year-old son just
told me that he thinks he's bisexual. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what to do with that.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. And so I'm just curious if you feel like mm-hmm. that he has been with anybody that is bisexual or homosexual for any extended period of time. Is there somebody that you think may have had many discussions with him about that?
Not as far as I know. No, I don't have friends who are like that. And she.
But have you asked him why? Mm-hmm. What
yeah, why
does
he
say?
Think that?
So this is what happened. He actually came to me and he looked like he was freaking out. So he told me, "Mommy, I think I'm bisexual." And I'm like, "How do you know?" And he said, "Well, he goes to camp and he's like, there's this boy in camp that I liked." And the twist of this is we read your character, what do you call it? The books, healing character piece, the books you guys have, the devotional.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you read yeah, the yeah. devotional. 100 days of
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 100 days, yes. We're reading 100 days of healing. And one of the days was talking about not fearing. And then apparently that verse is what made him go out and tell this boy that he actually liked him. And I'm like, why would you? I didn't get that. But anyway, so he came from camp and told me that he told some boy that he liked him. And I asked him, why do you think you're bi? Have you ever liked girls before? And he's like, yes, but he's never told me anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering why did he go out for this one? Why did he express himself on this one? He knows he's not mm-hmm. supposed to
okay.
date, first of all.
All right, so let's yeah. talk with, let's see what John has to say about a very difficult situation anytime a parent is faced with this. John, what do you think?
Yeah, Cindy, a couple of things that really help when you encounter this situation is, first off, to have what I would call non-interrogatory conversations where he feels like he's under the sweat lamps from the cops mm-hmm. and what about this, what about this, mm-hmm. what about this? Because, you know, at 13, mm-hmm. he's already in the deep parenting years. And if he's got a mom who is highly anxious that he might be bisexual, most kids will just learn how to hide better if they feel like the lamps are on.
Oh yeah. I played it so cool. I was like, okay, tell me how this came about. What do you think? So we just talked about
there you
it.
Go.
I went
mm-hmm.
and picked out later. But
there you
when
go.
I was with him, I was pretty calm.
Okay. Well, you need to do it again and again and again. In other words, I would make mm-hmm. this part of the normal conversations any mom has with a teenager, just like it's about drugs, just like it's about faith, just like it's about sports. You make that part mm-hmm. not sort of a one-and-done thing, because he needs to talk yes. to a healthy person, a godly person who loves him yes. and is on his side to process this through. So you just say, I want to keep learning more about what you're learning. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, don't do this or this. The other thing is I would probably say at some point I would like for us to talk to some, you know, some professionals about this and see how that works, you know, because he needs to have – he's got the world's viewpoint. He's got his friend's viewpoint.
Yeah.
He's got our mm-hmm. social media viewpoint. He's got yours, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also say, can we have some conversations with some experts on this? We get all the information he can. That's where I would go with it.
So
right,
let me just
yeah, go ahead,
add
Jill.
A couple of things.
The only thing I did is in my freaking out is I didn't tell them because he didn't want me to tell anybody yet. But mm-hmm. I just told his dad and his stepdad and my brother, and I was like, y'all need to come into this boy's life and
good.
Help
yes.
me out. I didn't tell them why. And
he needs
I called them a village, and I told them pray, because I don't know what else to do.
No, that's really good. He needs that connection with other men that will come alongside him. I'm wondering, Cindy, if your son, if you see him emotionally as a little bit younger than his chronological age, the fact
what
that,
do you mean?
Well, one, first of all, I think you, it sounds like you have a really good connection with him.
Mm-hmm.
He
yeah.
came to you. He told you this.
We trust you.
But you refer yeah. to it that he said, mommy. And I'm just wondering if maybe he's a little more emotionally young, and that's okay, because in the junior high stage, They kind of span the spectrum. Some kids mature more quickly, depending on the hormone development. Some more slowly. It's really common for our first friendships in life to feel like love relationships. Really common amongst girls, but even amongst boys, that a best friend feels like someone you love, almost like you have infatuation feelings for that friend. And so to help him maybe make that distinction, and that then, you know, we get to make choices about, you know, how we pursue relationship, and that, you know, we can choose to not sexualize or not act on any sexualization. And what might that be about? To really, you know, explore, well, what might those feelings be about for you? And let's just really understand, and let's not act on things before we really understand what it's about and what we really want in life. Because as you choose things, you kind of set the stage. Right.
I really like that, Jill.
Yeah, good.
And I did tell him to just put a whole, like, because we had this conversation and he was leaving. But I told him, okay, let's put a pin on it and get back to it. But I just didn't want to go back into it without knowing. So I've been waiting.
Right.
I called last week, but I wasn't able to get through. So I've been waiting to find out what else I can do before I can go back and have this conversation with him.
Right.
Well, and
because,
I think you did something really great calling on the men. I think the way you talked with him, I think all of that is really good. And I want to Raising Great Kids would be a great book for her to get.
Can I just add another example?
Yeah,
you
please.
Know, it's just like when people marry, they're supposed to forsake all others, and we have to curtail our sexual appetite, right? And we make choices. So that's another way to look at it, is that we get, you know, giving him the power of choice here.
All right. I'm going to send you a book. I hope it will help you and encourage you. I'll also send you Take Your Life Back. You know, one of the best conversations that I've had with Solomon, I started having these when he was 10. Solomon is a high IQ, went to a school that everybody has a high IQ. There are a lot of liberal thoughts there. And Solomon is a very talented musician. He's great at art and stuff. And he's kind of like I was at his age. And I said to him, Solomon, some days you wake up, you feel more like a girl than you do a boy. Sometimes you think you like a guy so much that he's your boyfriend, but really it's just a friendship. And then the next day, you don't even want to be around that guy. You want to be around a girl, whatever. I said, it's just part of the growing up process that some people go through, especially talented people, bright people, creative people. So he says to me about 2 years after that, Dad, that was the most important conversation we have ever had. And all the others were a waste of time, but that one meant something to him. I wanted him to hear from me what it's all about, not from some other kid whose parents get excited about them being bisexual or homosexual. And so I'm so grateful that we had that conversation. And, you know, if we can normalize, great word there, normalize this confusion. And you know, what Solomon experienced at age 10, because this 13-year-old is calling mom, mommy, it might literally be at the same stage for him. But I hope these guys can come around and really help and be part of this. There are no quick fixes, no instant solutions, but passivity and rejection never help.
There you go.
Never help. All right. Hey, I'm really glad you're with us here today. I'm so glad John is here. We love it every time he's here. Finding Freedom Workshop is this Saturday, and you can still register. Chris Williams and I'll be doing that. Freedom for your soul, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. That's what we have for you. We also have Henry Cloud and John Townsend's book, Growth Has No Boundaries. We will send that to you for a gift of any amount. Rarely do we do gift of any amount, but this is important. I wish everybody could read this book. You would be so grounded in biblical truth when it comes to emotional, spiritual, even physical health. It's all right here. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us today.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn, you're really glad you're with us. Dr. John Townsend is here, author, Growth Has No Boundaries. And by the way, you know, you can download our app, the New Life app, and it allows you to stream New Life Live broadcasts, catch up on the archive broadcast, read articles, enjoy video teaching. All that stuff is right there. Be sure and join me on Facebook Live, 5 o'clock Eastern, every weekday. I'd love to have you there. And also, I'm preaching on Labor Day at Northview Church. You can get that online, as you can get a lot of churches online right now. Lisa, Washington, D.C., WAVA, how can we help today?
Hi, my name is Carlos, and Lisa, and thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
My question is, okay, I've been married for 9 years, and most of the time we don't get along at all, and we haven't been for several years.
Oh, that's too bad. What's wrong with him that he can't get along with you? What's the matter with that guy?
Well, one of the things that he doesn't trust me, he thinks I'm going to gamble a little bit of money that we have away, and this is how it started. And so what he did was he took out my credit cards because he didn't want me to take any cash advancements. So then he kept the credit cards and he started using them. And then he got more credit in my name and spent that money. And then I had a townhouse before I got married. I moved in with him, so we rented out the townhouse. And instead of us having somebody manage it, he wanted to manage it. So it went for like 3 years, and then he finally started keeping the money for himself in his own pocket.
Well, let me ask you this, Lisa. Lisa?
Yeah.
Do you have a little gambling problem there that is part of this?
I did, and I started going to GA.
Good. Oh, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then we're in AA, so we both go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and he's been going there for many, many years, many more years than I've been going. I'm coming up on 13 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Way to go.
September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so I want you to get some help here. Yeah. And you know, my suspicion is that we've got to get to the stuff beneath all this stuff. You know, all of these things that are happening here are just symptom of something much, much deeper here. Or you guys would be on each other's side trying to build each other up, trying to help each other, not bring each other down, steal from each other, withhold money. Jill, John, what do you think? What could help her in this time?
Well, it seems like you've had good success in AA is what I'm hearing. That you both have been able to work that program and that you've even started going to GA. Is he open to also bringing his money issues into a 12-step program? Because we do know that addicts tend to cross addict, right? And more is always better. So, you know, often the pattern is to lean in to do more of the same instead of what is helpful. But would he be willing to have some accountability in that area, too, so that you guys could start to build some trust? Like, if you're in Gamblers Anonymous, could he go to Debtors Anonymous?
No. He goes to GA.
Oh, he does. Okay.
He goes to Gammonon.
Okay. Gammon. Okay, that's good.
That's the reason for going. But it's like, I mean, that's not the only thing that's happened. I mean, I had $10,000 that I was taking him traveling with. And he took that and put it in his own separate account. And that's money gone, too. So
he feels highly anxious. He's highly anxious around you and money.
Yes.
And are there amends that need to be made?
Yes. He just told me that's something that I told him that it's been a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to get over it every time something new comes up. when it comes to finances, it just brings those memories back. And I get pissed. And I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to leave him because I'm sick of this. I don't like him anymore. I'm not happy. I'm miserable. And I'm not going to go back and drink and drug again because he won't get the satisfaction that I went back out drinking and drugging again. And I don't want to kill myself. I haven't gotten to that point where I want to die.
No, we don't want that to happen.
We don't want that to happen.
Okay, so let me ask a question. Let me ask a question to Jill and John. You're ready to leave. What do you guys think she should do before she finally leaves? What should she try?
Lisa, you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you guys, and we did try counseling, so I'm going to say that. We're going to have counseling this Wednesday, tomorrow, actually. And after we have the counseling session, everything is good for a day or two. But then it goes back to the same crap.
Okay.
I'm tired of it.
Sure you are. You sound exhausted. Yeah. Are you bringing that up to the counseling, that this only lasts for a day and then we got 6 days of misery? Does the counselor know that?
Yes.
And so what happens when you say, this only works 1 out of 6 days, counselor? What does the counselor say?
Well, you know, I'll just keep trying because I know we got married for better or for worse and sickness and health.
All right. But the counseling sounds like it's working for the day, right? Something good's happening in that day, right? Fair enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that means you probably need more structure and reminders and homework and a support group on the other 6 days to keep the good feelings and intimacy and safety and agreement between you. I would tell the counselor, we don't have enough in our lives. It gets just really toxic after one day with you. I need to learn how to get a support group of people that love us. I need to get an agreement between him and me on money and get those things nailed down and reminders. You need more structure and ask the counselor about it, Lisa.
All right. This is perfect for intimacy and marriage intensive.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Conquer Worry and Anxiety by Dr. Daniel Amen, Healing is a Choice by Steve Arterburn, and Forgiving What You'll Never Forget and Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, both by Dr. Dave Stu. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, Lisa. 3 million of those Bibles have sold now, over 3 million, and it's going to help you. It's going to help you pull this together. But I tell you, this is an example of where the strongest recovery program that you have, still you can benefit from a really, really great Christian counselor being on your team. That's what we want
for you. And Steve, yes, she said they were going to counseling, right? We were talking about that.
Yeah, and it's
working. I think, yes, and it's working for a day, so we need to capitalize on that day. But also, I think you started to mention our marriage intensive. I think that helps people to kind of be immersed in the issues in a very containing environment.
Yeah, Steve, build that out a little bit. That's a very good idea.
I think they need that to give them some more momentum.
Well, we literally have a history of people that hate each other come into this thing, and they pull their marriage back together, and then they start to grow back together because the issues they've been dealing with aren't really the issues at all. We're getting to the issues below the issues, you could say. And so I just encourage people, okay, if you're going to get a divorce, you need to be able to say, I did everything I possibly could do. You come to this as your last-ditch effort, you're not going to get a divorce. I mean, really, about, about 95% success rate with some of the toughest situations. So I could put you in touch with people that thought their life in marriage was done, and they were going to be living in an apartment away from the kids and the grandkids, and it's all back together. So that's what we want for you. If you want information on that, you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call. All right, let's go to Anna from Los Angeles, listening on KKLA. Hello, Anna. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I have a question to John Townsend.
Okay.
Right here.
Well, years ago, I heard you were telling a story about somebody that has a trauma, and she kept the secret of the trauma in her life. And the way you said that time, I feel like that was like what happened to me. So I feel like that was like my story, because the day I got married, my ex-husband said that he didn't want to get married. He just used me to come to the United States, because I met him in other my country. Then we got married through justice, and then he said he was gonna get married here, so I brought him here, made the papers, and then on the wedding day he told me that he didn't wanna get married. And so I feel like I had this trauma that I had to, because of the religion, and we shouldn't divorce those years. So we
I'm
had
so sorry.
Such a betrayal. Ugh.
So sorry.
So I feel like
It's okay.
My life stopped right there. So I feel like I'm still the same age when my life stopped that day. So I don't feel like I'm 77 years old. I feel like I'm 23 or 24, around age.
Well, what's the question for John?
I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know, how do you grow beyond that age? And
you were devastated in your 20s.
Yeah.
And you are now in your 70s, and your life still feels like you're devastated back then. Do I have that right, Anna?
Yes. I'm not supposed to divorce because of the religion, and I thought maybe he might be different, but he got so mad that he said that he didn't want to get married, and not because it's like I forced him to church wedding.
Okay.
So
but
he,
are
he
you still,
me,
I can't remember, are you currently married to him or divorced now?
No, I divorced him a long time ago.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you what science, what the science says and what the Bible says, that they all agree about when people have a devastating loss. And people do get through this. It's yours is particularly bad, but it is trauma. So let me tell you what happens. I don't remember what I said in the last thing we talked about, or you heard me on years ago, but I can just kind of...
No, that was years ago. I heard you on one seminar that I went.
Okay. God's solutions, Anna, are two or three things. One is that we must grieve. It says in Isaiah that we have a Savior, that Jesus was a person well acquainted with grief. Sometimes the grief process, which means being sad, crying, being comforted by people that love us, will release the stuckness and we can move on, because we can't hold the grief inside of us and move on. The second thing is that we need to replace the love that we thought we would get from people that do love us. Your husband was deceptive, lied to you, and you had dreams and hopes of a great life. He meant a lot to you. I think that might be why it's lasted for 50 years. He must have meant great things to you, like hope, love, a wonderful life. I mean, you probably had all of your hopes pinned on this. That's what we do when we get married, especially at an early age. You must find people to replace him. I don't mean other husbands, Anna. I mean, people that know you, that can be vulnerable with you, that you can be vulnerable with. You must replace him with not just the Lord, but the Lord says also, it's not good that we be alone. You have to be people. So there needs to be somewhere around between 3 and 7 people in your life that are your best friends and will love you no matter what. And then the third thing is that you must adapt. We're finding out in the science especially that we have to begin doing new things that in your 70s, people nowadays have, they do art, they do ministries, they start businesses, they do church work. You must
run for president.
You must have a lot of activities that are the new life for you. So it's the grief work, it's the replacement work, and it's the adaptive work of finding new things to do. And it will not be quick, Anna. I'm not going to lie to you, but in a few months you should start to feel better from this. If it's not better, certainly you got to see a counselor, but try this for right now.
Okay, I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and we've put together a workbook to help you to grieve using the 12 steps. I'm going to send that to you, and then I'm also going to send Healing is a Choice, because it has a whole section on grieving and how that can free us from the past. I'm so sorry that this has happened to you, but what's true for you is true for everyone. Some people, it's not that the next day they hear, I married you to become a citizen of this country. They hear, I wasn't even faithful to you during the engagement or something like that. So what do you do? You literally do have to do what John's saying. You have to replace that love with other people. Don't give up. You have to grieve the loss of the dream and the life that you thought you were going to have. And when you do that, you can be free to forgive and then move on even farther down the road. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we will help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Jean, Baltimore, Maryland. And she listens on WAVA. Hi, Jean. How are you today?
I'm well, and yourself?
Doing okay. How could we help you?
Okay, I'm going to try and just make this in the nuts and bolts of this situation here.
Nuts and bolts. We like nuts and bolts.
We like nuts and bolts. You're a practical person, Jean.
My 28-year-old granddaughter, about a year and a half ago, we noticed that she was starting to complain that someone was stalking her and the co-workers were talking about her. And before then, she had had some good jobs since she finished college, but she weren't able to keep the jobs. So then she started accusing the parents of helping people to stalk her, and it got really bad. She moved out the house. She moved in with me. And so a third party counsel, I'm going to say, that my daughter and my son-in-law was doing, that counsel recommended that she get in and be checked. However, she didn't want that, and so she became very combative, and she would just take off. We finally had to get her to get checked, but we had to get the police involved in it to get her to the hospital. Mm. They would not keep her in the hospital there, since she's not a threat to herself or others, so they had to let her go. And this went on for a few months. She has never been in the hospital inpatient for no more than 4 days.
Before we go to a break, Jean, did any doctor give her a diagnosis, the name of a diagnosis? That'll help us a lot to help you.
Okay. Yeah, she was diagnosed this recent with bipolar and schizophrenia.
All righty. That helps.
All right. We'll give you some help right after this.
We'll help you.
Yeah. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, we would love to be there for you. We've seen so many people not just feel better, but transform their lives. One of the things that transforms us is changing the way we think, according to Romans 12:2. Growth has no boundaries. We'll help you change the way you think in transformation.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Jean, and she has a granddaughter who has been diagnosed bipolar schizophrenia. John, you want to continue here with Jean?
Yeah, we know that's a serious condition and that it takes a lot of maintenance and help and medical management, because it's going to take some pills. So what's your question for us, Jean? How can we help?
We're looking for some directions here because she's been homeless for about a year, and she just takes off. The scare, we had a scare about a month ago when she went to New York, ended up getting stranded, and we pinged her phone and called the police. They took her to a hospital, but they released her. Mm-hmm. And my son-in-law found her at a bus station, a bus stop somewhere, just sitting in the dirt, crying, all dirty and everything. And so we took the car. And she said she would go to the hospital, so she was inpatient. Again, this time 4 days, again, she left. And she pretended to be going to a homeless shelter and came by and picked up the car, and now she's gone again. Says she was going to North Carolina somewhere. She doesn't know anybody in these areas. And we don't know where she is.
Jean, has she... It sounds like she's never been compliant on meds.
No, she has not. She said it doesn't work, and she's been threatened to suicide, and it's hard to grab. We don't know which way to turn out. We don't know where she is, for one thing, you know. And that's the heartbreaking part, you know, when your child is.
Yeah, of course, sure. Of course. Yeah. It's really heartbreaking because she's got a double diagnosis, you know, and it's usually alternating states. So you get one under control, and then the other one flares up. And so the medication is really, when they do stay on medication, they can have a normal life. I mean, there's some ups and downs, but they can have a fairly normal life. But she's got to get to a point where she's willing to do that. And I don't know if there is a board and care you could put her in, a place where they would monitor her meds, where they would help to, you know, train her in terms of work and different things that would make her feel more productive about herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jean, does she have a cell phone that you can call her at?
She changes the number constantly. We don't know how to reach her. She calls her sister sometimes, but then she changes the number. Her sister can't reach her. Mm-hmm. Her sister was like the mediator for us to know that she was okay and she needed some money or something like that.
Here's what I would do. I mean, you're in such a situation that you have so little control over the situation. So much is beyond your control. And so I would do this. You or sister or whoever has the best relationship with her, call some number, my latest number, once a week. And that's number one. Just call once a week. You don't give up your life for that, and we all love people with long lives. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing. Call once a week. And if you don't get anything, you just keep calling once a week. And you hope that one time she will call her sister. That seems to be the number one contact. And you instruct your sister the following to say, I want to help. Are you at a point where you know that you need help? And if she says, no, everything's great, just give me money, I would say, no, I don't do that. But at some point, here's what happens, is that the meds don't wear off. They do. But
she's not on them.
But a thing called clarity comes in where she doesn't have the meds, but she's not so far down the psychotic path. There's a little window there, Jean, where she can go, I'm miserable, I need help. And you say, we'll go there and pick you up. And what you do is you say, we will be there if you'll promise that you'll take the meds. Now, when she goes psychotic again, she may not want to. Mm-hmm. But that's your best shot. Then you pick her up and you take her if she's not safe, you got to take her to the hospital. But then I like Jill's idea of there's a place that will keep you, but you've got to promise that you will stay there. Now, what I would do then, if she bails on that like she always had, I would say from now on, we love you. We won't send you money. We'll be praying for you. Let us know when you're willing to make the commitments. That's about all we've got because the psychotic part where the brain breaks down still tends to make her unable to take it. But if you can hit that window where she's not on meds, which she hates, she makes her feel drugs or mute or whatever, and she's not psychotic, that's when she's clear and she goes, I need help. You got to get as much help as you can into that window at that time, and I would enlist my sister for that.
All right. That's really great, John. Good advice.
So hard.
Mm-hmm. Let me send you John's book here, Growth Has No Boundaries. I hope that's going to be helpful to you. I think that it will. You know, the one freedom I wish we could take away is for people like this and force them to take medication because it's just so frustrating.
I wish it was like a bubble gum machine.
Yeah.
You just go past it and hit the dispenser.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they preach against or speak against medication. And I'm telling you, in these kind of cases, you know, outside of the medication, there's not going to be a normal, productive life. But, you know, sometimes you get the right medication, a schizophrenic person can really have a great life. The medication
it's not a lack of faith. It's that the brain is not working. It's like saying nobody should have kidney medicine. That's a sin. Well, no, your kidney's not working. Your brain's an organ. Mm-hmm. And there's so many great medications that can help the brain. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I hope and pray that if you need medication, you won't feel guilt or shame or anything like that over taking it, and you'll just continue to take
it. Steve, I think you've been on the forefront of that. I love how over these years you've always been such a gracious and educated host on, if you need meds, take them. Sure, we need the talk therapy. We need lots of talk therapy. We need the church. We need God. We need the Bible. But take the meds if you need them. I think you've kind of been such an advocate for that.
Well, I tell you, if I wasn't taking my medication, you wouldn't even be able to talk to me. I'd just be horrible. So
or entertaining. Sometimes you're very entertaining. I mean,
yeah. But I'm telling you, the attention deficit disorder that I have, and a few other disorders too, I'd be doing disorderly conduct. I've got so many disorders. So
I believe it could be such a
great, great help. And so many people are struggling needlessly because they're thinking, oh, well, that's not good. And well, you know, if you don't need it, it's not good. But when you need it, oh my goodness, you know, God actually provides us with wisdom and insight. People say, you know, well, Paul didn't take medication. No, Paul didn't have a dentist either, but he sure could have benefited from one.
There you go.
So anyway, 1-800.
I would have never had that thought, Steve. Yeah. This is why I love you. I would have never thought that in my life.
Well, it's true. So yeah, well, if Paul didn't have something, you know, he didn't have a car, so I'm not going to drive a car. It just makes no sense. It's ridiculous. All right. So really glad to have John here, and I'm so thankful for this book, Growth Has No Boundaries. John, give us the 8-second summary that you did on the other program.
The book is about the reality that the Bible holds all of the solutions for our emotional, relational, and personal lives. You can depend on it.
That's right. You bet. You know, just as archaeology doesn't uncover something that people go, uh-oh, well, the Bible's all wrong here, psychology doesn't uncover something in research or discovery that said, oh, well, the Bible's all wrong here. Hey, it supports it, actually. And if it didn't, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it. We're not stupid. We believe. I mean, okay, but the degrees. But I'm telling you, we believe the truth of this Bible, and we believe it's supported by the research. Oh, my goodness.
Can I tell you what? Have I got 20 seconds to tell you why I love this? The reason I study neuroscience so much in my writings and everything nowadays, Steve, is because it's not new information for God, but it affirms that all the things the Bible says about relationships and comfort and growth and resilience, they're all in the Bible. It's like there's this big tapestry called truth, and God finally gets, because of the science, he gets a little credit as the author of this at the bottom of the tapestry. So that's why I love
this stuff.
So
true. Well, I tell you, you start messing with God, you discover he's really smart. Hey, call us if you need help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you.
Thanks
See
for
you next
listening.
Time.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.